Welcome to Science Questions. I am Sherry Quinn.
And I am Susie Montgomery.
In the modern day, where the Western diet has led to epidemics of obesity, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease, a group of researchers are revisiting a Stone Age recipe that has us eating like cavemen, restricted to animal protein and plants. No grains, legumes, dairy products, and certainly nothing processed. Basically, if early humans didn't eat it, you shouldn't either.
When you talk about the word paleo, it evokes Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble.
Lauren Cordain is professor of health and exercise science at Colorado State University and considered founder of the primal health movement called the Paleo Diet, named after the Paleolithic era beginning roughly 2.5 million years ago and ending about 10,000 years ago. This popular modern version seeks to mimic the diet of pre-agricultural hunter-gatherers.
I don't expect that everybody in the world is going to understand this concept or even have heard of it. This is an eclectic concept that has evolved from nutritionists, from anthropologists, and physicians. So the concept has become very, very big, and in the scientific literature, it's just starting to emerge.
The diet is sparking controversy and curiosity, as well as attracting converts across the world. Cordain and the Paleo Diet have become so popular, he gets upwards of 300,000 hits a day on Google, second only to another famous professor with an office down the hall, Temple Grandin, whom you might remember redesigned livestock slaughterhouses for the more humane treatment of cattle. It is always surprising to a scientist when their work goes viral.
I never really set out to become the world's expert. I was very selfish. I just wanted to find out what the best diet was for me on a personal level. And so that was really my motivation. I would do this whether I were famous or got published or wrote books or not. It's my passion.
Cordain was a popular attendee at the first ever Ancestral Health Symposium at UCLA, featuring the latest research on the Paleolithic diet. He described it as the Woodstock of evolutionary medicine. Aside from the presenting scientists, about 300 people showed, many of which were Western yogis and fitness gurus. It was LA, after all. This new research suggests hunter and gatherers were healthier than the ancient farmers who began to eat processed grain about 10 to 15,000 years ago, according to the archaeological record. One of the most well-known anthropologists studying this is Mark Nathan Cohen, also at the symposium, and who has been a great influence on Cordain.
He was able to show that if you look at the skeletal remains of hunter-gatherers, and then just as they made the transition to early farmers, their skeletons show that they were very unhealthy, they were shorter, they lost on average 5 to 6 inches, they developed bone mineral problems and other pathologies that can be inferred from diet. So part of the problem is that they went from eating tremendous diversity of wild plant and animal foods to eating staples like cereal grains, which are nutritional lightweights compared to wild plant and animal foods.
The most problematic of the cereal grains is wheat, according to Cordain, and what was once called the USDA food pyramid is now called MyPlate, and this program recommends 6 servings of grains per day. Half should be whole grains.
That is a very poor recommendation for 1% of the population who has celiac disease. And so eating wheat causes symptoms in celiac patients. So 1% of the population may not sound like much, but we have 300 million people in the U.S., so it turns out to be a substantial number. And even more importantly, what we're finding now is gluten sensitivity. Besides paleo, the other really hot topic in diet is gluten-free. And so it turns out about 20% of the U.S. population has gluten sensitivity, meaning that they have a variety of symptoms and illnesses when they eat wheat. And so that's why the gluten-free products have exploded across the United States and actually worldwide. Cereal grains not only are responsible for celiac disease, but we also suspect that they're responsible for a variety of other autoimmune diseases because they contain a substance that increases intestinal permeability, and it does so not just in celiac, but in so-called normals as well. So, and the other issue with grains that I have is that they their nutritional lightweights. If you compare them on a calorie by calorie basis to either fresh fruits, vegetables, lean meats, or seafood, they come in last. And so I, for the life of me, can't understand, except that they're cheap, why our government is, through its My Plate program, is promoting the consumption of a food that produces nutritional deficiencies and can cause actual ill health in many people.
75% of people in the U.S. have one or more symptoms of either type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, or hypertension, basically high blood cholesterol, and high triglycerides. Cordain's research shows, too, that certain types of cancer, epithelial cell cancers like breast, colon, and prostate cancer, are linked to diet. All of these ailments are components of the metabolic syndrome, says Cordain.
Anecdotally, what we find is that people with the metabolic syndrome, their symptoms seem to fade away. Hypertension, dyslipidemia, all of these characteristic symptoms of insulin resistance fade away on the paleo diet. And one of the most thrilling factors that has come about in the last 10 years since people have been doing this is that people with autoimmune disease seem to improve and even go into complete remission. So diseases that at one time were thought to be completely non-controllable have shown some really good effects with paleo diets. And so that's what we're doing right now. My graduate students and I, we've got an ongoing study, and it's a large case study in which we have close to 100 people with autoimmune disease that have gone into either complete remission or partial remission from following this. And so we have their personal medical records that we are compiling. And so this is one of the thrilling parts of this. And so we think that, as I mentioned earlier, is that wheat is very problematic in autoimmune disease because it causes a leaky gut in many people. And we think that that's one of the triggering factors in genetically susceptible people with autoimmune disease, is their, if their intestines become leaky. And so, you know, wheat is, people like to eat sandwiches and crackers and cookies and bagels and cereal and this for breakfast and whatever. So there's a behavioral component to it, but there are hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people that have adopted the paleo diet worldwide, and I don't think that they have a problem. To me, a slice of bread or versus a bowl of fresh blackberries, there's no comparison. I'd much rather eat a bowl of fresh blackberries any day than eating a piece of bread.
Cordain has done extensive and well-respected research on hunter-gatherer diets. One of his more well-known studies looked at their diet and acne. To determine whether hunter-gatherers suffered from acne, Cordain teamed up with husband and wife anthropology duo Kim Hill and Magdalena Hurtado, who are famous in the field for their longtime research of about 30 years on one of the last remaining hunter-gatherer groups living in the Paraguay forest, the Ache. This is the sound of Ache elders performing one of their traditional songs around a small campfire. Kim Hill introduced me to them in 2006. I had the rare fortune to spend several weeks living with the Ache, deep in the remote Atlantic rainforest, experiencing the hunter-gatherer diet firsthand, complete with fox, rodents, armadillo, nuts, berries, even monkey brains and insect larvae, larvae the size of stuffed green olives, that I ate roasted like a marshmallow dripping off a stick. Diseases such as obesity and diabetes are quite new to this society and are not uncommon. The traditional Ache diet also prevented acne. During the course of Hill and Hurtado's 2-year acne study, they did not find a single case of acne among the Ache, nor did Cordain among the Catawan Islanders.
They live in this island in the South Pacific off the coast of Papua New Guinea. And there's about 3,000 of them, and there was 250 to 300 teenagers in that group. And once again, not a single teenager or person in the population had acne. And so we suggested in a paper in 2002 in the Archives of Dermatology that indeed it was their diet that was common to both the Ache in Paraguay and the Catawans that prevented them from developing acne, even in their teenagers. If you were to round up 300 teenagers in the United States, about 85 to 90% of them would have acne. So we didn't find a single case. And then really the the proof of the pudding, I wrote a couple more papers mechanistically on how we believe diet actually caused acne, and was invited to some prestigious international conferences to present our work. And the proof of the pudding was in 2006, a paper was published by my colleague Neil Mann from Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. And they actually put a group of adolescents with acne on a diet that mimicked certain characteristics of hunter-gatherer diets. And lo and behold, the acne went away.
There are two suspects, the high glycemic load and a popular dairy product.
Milk does a number of things. It also spikes insulin levels, but it contains hormones that many people, including the research group at Harvard, believe is responsible for acne, because they think that the hormones in cow's milk cross the gut barrier and influence our own hormones. So it comes down to Western diet, and hunter-gatherers don't drink milk or eat dairy products, and they don't have processed foods, so their diet tends to have a low glycemic load generally.
Craig Stanford, professor of biology and anthropology at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, also attended the Ancestral Health Symposium at UCLA to present on the meat-eating behaviors of wild chimpanzees and on the meat-eating habits of our ancestors. At the conference, Stanford was the lonely skeptic, admonishing the paleo dieters that revisiting this Paleolithic era isn't a blanket solution.
Laurent Cordain is a great scholar, and he did some great work about 10 years ago looking at the diets of different hunter-gatherer groups in the world, and he found that they had pretty similar intake of protein and fiber and so forth. But nevertheless, I think most scholars would say that the human diet, there's no single monolithic human diet, and when people approach their own personal lives and their own personal diet and health in that simplistic way, then, you know, they're bound to either fail or just eat something that's unnecessary for them to eat.
I think that the paleo diet sometimes has been criticized because it eliminates two food groups. It eliminates grains and dairy. But in the same manner, the food pyramid or the My Plate recommends that you can eat a nutritionally adequate vegan diet. Well, a vegan diet also excludes at least two food groups. It excludes dairy and it excludes meat. And that is, to my way of thinking, a really unhealthy diet is a vegan type diet.
I think the idea that eating a lot of lean meat is perfectly fine, which is something that paleo dieters would advocate, I think there's a mountain of medical evidence that links meat to all sorts of ailments, including cancers. And it's really indisputable. And there are books out there arguing against that, I know. But the mountain of evidence is that, if you want to really enhance your health, if you want to ward off cancer potentially, then being a vegan, for instance, is a very, very healthy way to live. And that's something that, when I was at the conference at UCLA, in fact, some of the speakers would joke about veganism and vegetarianism. They'd raise that as a kind of a practical joke topic, and the audience would cheer and jeer. And I just thought that was kind of bizarre, given what we know about the value of eating a plant-based diet. The problem with eating meat or eating eggs is not just eating them by themselves. The problem is that in our modern world, you can go to the market and you can buy and eat eggs and meat and so forth in bizarrely huge quantities compared to what our ancestors did. So to be a paleo diet advocate and say, well, eating lean grass-fed beef is a really great thing, it should be in everybody's diet, that might be fine, but you have to remember that most foraging people, traditionally, historically, have only been able to get meat fairly rarely. And so they're living on a pretty low protein diet for the most part. And that's something that we forget when we say, oh yeah, let's practice a paleo diet. We also forget when we go to the market and buy eggs that ancient people only could get eggs for a few weeks every spring. So they would gorge on eggs, and they wouldn't suffer any cholesterol or heart issues because then the eggs weren't laid anymore. The wild birds stopped nesting, and there weren't any eggs until the following spring. Of course, now we have eggs whenever we want them, and that's really the problem. My own feeling, just based on chatting with paleo diet advocates, is that there are a lot of folks in the paleo diet movement who simply love beef, and they really want to find a rationale that allows them to go out and grill their steak. And this offers them that rationale, and they believe in eating lean meat, and they believe in not eating it too often. But I think that to some extent, it's driven not just by science, as is the case for every diet out there. It's not driven just by science. It's driven by what people want to do when they fit the science into their belief system and into their particular palate and what they like to eat. You know, I'm not a medical researcher, But all I can say is that when you look at the literature that's out there, you can find hundreds of studies advocating a plant-based diet. And you can also find studies advocating a diet that's not so strongly plant-based. You can add, you can find diets like the paleo diet that advocate eating plenty of lean meat and so forth. So there are hundreds of studies out there. And, of course, people come along and say, my new study disproves the earlier one. And all we can say today, if you want to take a rational approach, is that the preponderance of evidence, the mountain of evidence today, is that a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet.
Though Stanford is clearly not a big fan of the paleo diet, he and Cordain see eye to eye when it comes to curbing the American propensity to gorge on bad food.
In America, we're suffering not diseases of underconsumption, we're suffering from diseases of overconsumption. Two-thirds of the population is obese or overweight, and so most middle-class Americans can afford to eat whatever they like, and those are the people that are unfortunately sick and overweight and have diseases of insulin resistance, so they certainly could make changes by making dietary changes. And I think health care costs could be significantly reduced if people uniformly adopted a diet that was composed of fresh fruits and vegetables and lean meats, and they avoided processed foods.
There's a kernel of truth there that's really valuable, which is that we should be avoiding processed foods, and we should be avoiding a lot of the junk and the extreme caloric intake that we put in our bodies these days. However, these people who go around promoting the paleo diet, I believe, as somebody who studies human evolution, take an extremely simplistic view of what early humans were all about and what their diets were all about. So, for instance, just the idea that there is a natural, single, ancient human diet is silly. So if you ask a paleo diet advocate or scholar about what that really means, they'll say, well, it means whatever people were eating before agriculture and before livestock is what we ought to be eating today. So no dairy, no grains, no breads, etc. But of course, we really don't know exactly what time period we're going to talk about if we try to nail down when the, quote, natural diet happened. Was it 10,000 years ago before agriculture began? Was it 100,000 years ago? Was it 500,000 or a million years ago? At each stage of the human evolutionary scope, there would have been variable diets. People were eating different things. If you looked at people living on the seacoast versus people living in the forest or in the mountains, of course, they would be eating very different diets. So when people say you should be eating a paleo diet, my response is, which paleo diet are you talking about? And how many paleo diets were there? And which time period and which species of early human are we trying to base our dietary recommendations on?
For Cordain, sticking to a diet of lean meat, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds, no matter how you slice it, produces healthy results.
My wife and I have been doing this probably longer than anybody on the planet except for hunter-gatherers. We were doing it since the early 90s. At the time when I first adopted it, I was in my late 30s and I was a runner, and I noticed that my endurance seemed to increase and muscle tone. And my wife is a triathlete. She also noticed a lot of therapeutic effects. And I think that you have to be open-minded and look at the facts. When I say that the paleo diet is more nutritionally dense than any diet out there, whether it's the food pyramid, my plate, the Mediterranean diet, Japanese diet, it's a much more nutrient-dense diet. And we've published two papers on that in the scientific literature. Anybody can look at the data.
Here's the problem with any of these diets, whether we're talking about paleo diet, veganism, Atkins diet, South Beach diet, you name it, is there's a certain level of irrationality that goes into the diets that people choose. If you want to stick to a healthy diet, then you have to take rational approaches. And when it becomes a religion for you, when you say, well, I'm a vegan, so I never eat this, or I never eat that, or I'm a paleo dieter, so I only eat this or that, well, that becomes a little bit irrational. I mean, I live in Southern California. I go out every day driving, and I see people, running along the side of a freeway where they're inhaling polluted air, which is terrible for them. They've increased their respiratory rate by running, and then they're taking in more pollutants. And then they go home, and they start obsessing about the diet that they're eating. So we all take kind of an irrational approach. We kind of create a private little theory about what's best for us. And I use the term, we're 7 billion nutritionists in the world today. We all have our reasons, whether they're religious, family tradition, or something we've read, that we should eat a certain way. And, of course, you know, it's easy to take it beyond the point of rationality. What I recommend is eating a rational diet. And what I mean by that is don't get religious about, I mean, I don't believe in being religious about anything in life, including religion. So don't get religious about what you eat. Don't think, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. You know, it kind of goes back to your grandmother's advice of eating a balanced diet. If you eat a balanced diet and you avoid processed foods, that's something we should avoid. We should avoid all of these foods that are packed with sugars and chemicals and so forth to kind of addict us to buy more. If you avoid those kinds of foods, then you're going to be fine. And, you know, we're evolved to be a very, very plastic species. You know, we're a generalist species in terms of our diet. We live in all sorts of different habitats historically. We do just fine in all those different places. And so people were eating a varied diet as far back as we can find in the fossil record.
I really don't know why this concept is controversial, because it's factual. It has nothing to do with me or anybody else. It's just look at the data and see how it plies out. So that's the frustrating part, is that, you know, when you have a correct answer to a complex diet health related question, it should be considered.
There are plenty of foods out there that when paleo dieters say don't eat so much dairy, don't eat so much grain, that they've got a good point. These are not foods that we evolved to eat. Just as cows did not evolve to eat corn, and when you feed it to them in large quantities in these feedlots, they get really sick and need antibiotic treatment. And that's what grass-fed beef is supposed to avoid. In the same way, we shouldn't be eating a lot of the foods that we eat. You do have to remember one thing, which is that historically, evolutionarily, humans evolved to live long enough to reproduce, and then a little bit more than that. We didn't evolve to live to be 80 or 90 years old. Most of the diseases that affect us that are diet-caused, whether it's heart disease or cancer, they hit us mainly after we're done reproducing, when we're in our 60s, 70s, and beyond. So from an evolutionary standpoint, humans can eat practically any diet at all, and they can do just fine. And in Darwinian terms, the name of the game is surviving to maturity, reproducing successfully, and then whatever happens beyond that is just icing. So in a sense, I think the fuss over what you're eating is really misplaced, because we didn't, as a species, evolve to eat a particular diet with the goal of living to be 80 or 90. Today, that's our goal. And that's really a goal that is way beyond the realm of natural selection, because it's all happened so recently that we're actually thinking about living to be 90 years old. Historically, we just didn't. It wasn't an issue.
Since we are living beyond our years, it's certainly not a bad idea to eat well. For myself, that means eating paleo at least on weekdays. So far, I have not regretted it. And according to Lauren Cordain, once you try it, you never go back.
I just think that people ought to give it a try and do it for 2 weeks, see how you feel. Most people feel so rotten after, if they go paleo for 2 weeks and then they say, I'm just craving a donut. And they go out and they eat a donut, it makes them feel so bad they don't want to do it again. I think that's one reason why people stick with it, is that they feel so good.
Science Questions is produced by Sherry Quinn and Susie Montgomery. Thank you for listening.
I tell you this, I think that I started getting hate email the next day. I got up and said, well, you want me to add something else here? This is funny. You want to record this and we'll do one other little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So I gave this talk at UCLA, and I got up and pointed out that when paleo dieters say you should go to the market and you should live out of the produce section and the meat section and avoid the other parts of the market. And I pointed out that if you look at what wild chimpanzees eat, they're eating a very high fruit diet, and yet they're fruits that we would never call them sweet. You'd have trouble getting it past your lips because they are not sweet. You'd probably throw up if you tried to eat them. And in the same way, the foods that we buy in the market, when you go to the market and buy kale or Brussels sprouts or broccoli, those foods do not resemble nutritionally their ancestors, that our ancestors were eating, because they're packed with sugar these days. Farmers know that people like to eat sweet, tasty greens. And so even greens that don't seem sweet to us, let's say kale, are intensely sweet compared to their ancestors. And I gave this talk at the Paleo Diet Conference, and people got very upset, because I think they felt that when they go to the market and buy greens, they're basically replacing an ancient diet with a modern diet that's very equivalent, and it simply is not.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go, yeah. But I got hate mail saying I was totally wrong and yada, yada, and then I went and asked colleagues of mine who do nutrition and whether I was right or not. And they all said, of course, these modern plants, you know, look at corn. Corn was like, you know, about an inch long, its ancestors, right? Now it's this big, sweet, tender thing. And they just don't resemble their their ancestors. So obviously, the paleo dieter is advocating a diet that's way healthier than those people who are out there eating just junk food.
Thank you.